Some words have inspired hope. They've comforted the grieving and motivated others to reach for new heights. You may recall the words of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, or the preamble from the Declaration of Independence, or maybe Martin Luther when he ignited the Protestant Reformation with his famous declaration, "Here I stand." Or maybe Jonathan Edwards when he lit the revival fires of the Great Awakening with his sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." You see, but there has never been words spoken, none that have echoed through the ages and changed the course of history as the words spoken by an angel at the empty grave when he says, "He is not here. He is risen." We know what Easter Sunday is, right? We know that we're going to come to church and we know we're going to hear about the risen Savior. Morning, church, the fact that we serve a risen Savior should not be a mundane thing. It should not be we know we're going to go to church and we know we're going to hear about the risen Savior today. That's what he did. We know it. It should be, we serve a risen Savior. Amen. Today and tomorrow and next week and next month, he is still a risen Savior.
Yes, amen.
It's not just once a year. It's not just once a year that we say our Savior is alive, our Savior is here, and our Savior is risen. It's every day of the year that we say our God's light, our Savior's light is still burning because he is alive. There is no other words that should ignite a fire within your heart other than our Savior is alive. Isn't that an amazing thing? How many other gods, so to speak, are out there? And ours. Ours is the one who is alive and is breathing and talking with you every day. Ours is the one who went to the cross for you, to die on the cross for your sins. Ours is the one that gave up his life so that you could have life. A risen Savior. He's not just some fictional character in a fictional book. He's a Savior. And he's not just the Savior of you and I this morning. He's the Savior of the whole world. Those this morning that think that they don't need a Savior, those this morning who want nothing to do with Jesus, he still went to the cross for them. And we've got to share the good news. See, on Friday I gave the sermon and I said that we call it Good Friday because guess why? The gospel is good news. The salvation of Jesus Christ is good, isn't it? And that's why we serve a risen Savior. That's why we come to church on Easter and we celebrate the fact that our God is not dead. That the tomb could not hold Jesus. And we praise God for that. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about that if you preach that Christ has been raised from the dead, then how can you say that there's no resurrection of the dead, right? That's his first opening line there in verse 12. Go ahead and read that. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But listen to verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You see, aren't you glad that he didn't stop with verse 19? Yes. You see, when we look at that, and we look at the scriptures that Paul has given us there, he's reminding us that if there is no resurrection, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then guess what? There's no foundation for our belief. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there is no foundation for what you and I are sitting in church for this morning. If he is dead, then everything that we believe comes crashing down around us. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus himself is no better than the tens of thousands of others who have claimed to be sent from God. If he did not rise, then his death was the unfortunate end to a misspent life, and his teachings are nothing more than the raving of some madman. It is true, and there is no resurrection from the dead, then the very system of belief that we cherish so deeply is nothing more than just another religion that offers life and hope to no one. If Jesus is still in that tomb today, then our way of life is farce, and we are among the greatest of fools to ever walk this planet. At the beginning of my sermon here, I'm going to be on the negative side. Okay? You bear with me. Because we're going to talk about what Paul's talking about here, and he says, if Christ never raised from the dead, then these things are the way that your faith would be. So we're going to take a look at all of these things. You see, because if Jesus is dead, then you and I might as well go home right now, right? Because there's no foundation, there's nothing for us to be standing here for, sitting here for, right? If Jesus is dead, then why are we here? But we know that Jesus isn't. In verses 14 through 16, he talks about in these three verses, and he goes on to paint an even more sobering portrait of how things would be if Jesus were indeed dead today. In verse 14, it says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So what he's saying is that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then guess what? What I'm standing up here preaching, what Alman has preached over his many years of service, and what you have told your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers and your students, your peers, what you have told them is useless. There's nothing to tell them, right? If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then what are we preaching? Our preaching then is in vain, and there's nothing to preach. There's no message to give. You see, even if Jesus died on the cross for our sins and the blood covered it, there's no hope for an afterlife if Jesus is still in the tomb, right? Now, we'll come back to this in a minute, but I had to kind of put it in here now because as I'm standing here today and I'm preaching and my voice is gone and I've been praying all week that God just gets me through the services, you see, I don't believe any ounce of this negativity because only God can help us through things, right? Amen. Only God can help my voice stay strong enough to get me through this morning. I can't do it. no matter how hard I try. And you see, I believe, because when I stand up here behind this pulpit every Sunday and I preach God's word, there are some Sundays that I look at my sermon and I'm like, God, you really want me to preach this? And God says, yes, I do. And then I walk away and somebody says to me, you know, that really hit me. And I said, well, God, you used me somehow. You see, we don't serve a dead God. And my preaching, your preaching, what you teach to everybody, the Sunday school teachers, those who teach our children, those who are discipling, those who are praying, those who are whatever, we're not doing it in vain. We're not doing it to just say we're doing it because this book tells us to. We're talking to a living and breathing God, a living and breathing Savior. Can't get any better than that. You see, he goes on to say that our faith is also in vain. Paul tells us that if Jesus is still dead, then we are wasting our time serving him and worshiping him. If Jesus is really dead, then you would be just as well off that you would come up and you would worship this flower or this candle or whatever. This really isn't dead, is he? You see, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then all of the sermons that you have heard over your lifespan, they don't mean anything. Many times, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to tell me a number, but just think about it. How many times has a sermon, either by your pastor, however long you've been here, all the pastors that have been here, the pastors you may listen to on the radio, even just reading your scriptures, how many times has something changed your life? A little bit or dramatically? The only way that our lives can be changed is because we serve a risen Savior, right? Because the only way that our lives can be changed is that an alive person can change them. Think about those who have gone on before you. Can they change your life right now? They have no impact, do they? The only ones that can have an impact on your life today are the ones who are living and breathing, right? So that means the only way that a Savior, the only way that a God can have an impact on your life is if he is living and breathing and is alive. Your Savior, does he impact your life? He goes on to say in verse 15, he says, more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. So he's saying that if you're going to preach that those who are dead do not raise, then you're saying that Jesus did not raise. You see, because eventually, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to rise from the dead, aren't we? Because we have that hope. We know we have that hope. Why? Because Jesus came out of the tomb. Yes, amen. That's the only reason that we have hope that one day when we take our last breath here, that we will take our first breath in heaven. Yes, amazing, isn't it? What our Savior did for us. He would take it upon himself to die on the cross so that he could cover our sins. That wasn't enough. He says, I've died on the cross, I've covered your sins, you've got salvation in me, you've got hope in me, but he says, guess what, I'm not done yet. I'm not done giving to you. So then when they took him and they took him off the cross and they wrapped him up in linens and they laid him in the tomb, most of them thought, well, we're going to find him here. This is where he's going to stay. And guess what? On the third day, that stone, there was an earthquake and the stone rolled away and they went to find him. And where did they find him? They didn't find him there, did they? They found him on the road. He was alive and he was talking to them again. He was dead 3 days ago. Savior is sitting right next to you. In the valleys, when you're in those hard times, he's carrying you. And when you're on the mountaintops, he's celebrating with you. And when you're in the plateau areas, he's walking with you. You see, our Savior is everywhere that we are. Not false witnesses. You see, but if Jesus, if he never raised from the dead, then what we are witnessing, those things that we are witnessing, they're not true. They can't be true if Jesus is still dead, right? If Jesus never was resurrected, then every time that we open our mouths to sing, to witness, to testify, to preach, or whatever we do in his name, then we are liars. If Jesus never raised from the dead. That's what Paul's saying. And then in verse 17, he goes on and he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So he's saying that there is no forgiveness if Christ hasn't raised from the dead. How many of you here this morning are very, very, very extremely thankful for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ?
Hallelujah.
All of us are, right? Because all of us are human and we all mess up and we all are here for a reason, right? Each one of us is sitting in church this morning because we're somewhere on the walk with Jesus. Whether we're a beginner or we're into the stages of the baby or we're an adolescent or maybe we're mature. We're somewhere in a walk with Jesus. The only way that we need to keep going is up. But the heart of the gospel message is the great truth that Jesus Christ left heaven above, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. But you see, the gospel message does not stop there, does it? You see, the Bible goes on to say that he rose again on the third day for our justification in Romans 4:25. And if Jesus is still dead, then we cannot be justified. If we can't be justified this morning, then each and every one of us are still lost in our sins. How many of you want to stay lost in your sin? It's not where we want to be, right? And then Paul, he goes on and he says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. You see, Paul now moves beyond this life to consider the things of eternal life. He tells us that if Jesus is still dead, then we have no hope for a future at all. I don't know about you, but the hope of the future of spending with Jesus Christ in eternity, that's where my focus is. That's where my life is headed. That's where I want to make sure that when I breathe my last breath here, I know that I have that hope of Jesus. But if we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then we have no hope of eternity with him. Because if Jesus isn't alive, then he's certainly not going to be in heaven, right? If Jesus isn't alive, then he's going to be in a tomb. There'll be no reunion on the other side if Jesus is not alive. See, all of this, I told you all of this was going to be negative in the beginning, and all of this paints a pretty bleak picture for us. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then we are all in real trouble. As I said a little bit earlier, aren't you glad that Paul didn't stop at verse 19? And he went on and to go to verse 20, because verse 20 is like a lighthouse that points our way to hope. Paul states for the record, telling them, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus or the resurrection of the dead. Then he says, when we go on, guess what? He says, the fact is that Jesus did indeed rise from the grave. So everything that Paul has just said, everything that we have just gone over, the negativity of everything that Paul has stated, guess what? All of that negativity has now turned to positive because your witness, your faith, the things that you say and you believe in, your foundation is strong, isn't it? Your faith is not futile. Your faith has a purpose. See, our foundation is firm then. The bedrock doctrine of our faith is true. Jesus lives and Christianity stands as the only valid means whereby a lost sinner can reach Jesus Christ. What did it say? The way to my Father is through Jesus, right? Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? There's so many scriptures that we could go to that just says Jesus is the only way to heaven. Foundation. He is what we stand on because he is alive. And our faith is strong, and our preaching, not just my preaching, not just the words that I give every Sunday, but your preaching. I told you guys before that every one of you is a preacher. Your preaching with your families, your friends, your worker, your co-workers, your peers, your whoever it is, the lady at the grocery store that you're standing behind, whoever it may be, when you are telling her or him the good news of Jesus Christ, it is alive and well and it means something. When that stone was rolled away, Jesus was not in there at all because God had sent his hand down and he had raised his son up. And you see, someday we pass from this life. God will reach his hand down and he will take you to heaven. If you believe in the forgiveness of the sins that Jesus Christ went to die on the cross for, if you repent of your sins and you turn from them and you are living in Jesus Christ, then you too will make sure that you reach the other side. And you see, because Jesus lives this morning, we are no longer lost in sin. You don't have to be trapped in your sin this morning. You have a way to be set free. People say that it's a waste to trust in Jesus. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you believe that it's a waste to trust in Jesus Christ? See, when we believe in Jesus, our world changes, doesn't it? When we believe in Jesus, we have a greater hope that we've never had before. Go back to before you knew who Jesus was. What hope did you have? Maybe you had a hope that you would make it to the next day. Maybe you were so lost in sin that you weren't even sure if you were going to make it to the next day because there were so many circumstances going on. Maybe you had no hope at all. You were in depression and despair and all kinds of things going on around you. Maybe you had no hope. Maybe you were at the rock bottom and that's where you found Jesus. But let me tell you, I don't know your story. I know some of your stories. I don't know all of your stories. But Jesus found you somewhere. And I can guarantee you that every one of you, if we took time this morning to tell your stories, every one of you would have found yourselves at some deep place that Jesus took you out of. What other God, what other person can do that besides a living, breathing Savior, right? See, one whose light shines in the darkness. One whose light shines and takes you from a place of sin to a place of light, where your sins are no more if you've come to the cross and repented of them. You see, and our future is secure. If we believe in the forgiveness of sins and we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we believe that he is alive today, then guess what? We also believe that he is in heaven right now, making a way for you and I to enter heaven. That right now, he is standing at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you. He's covering you in his blood. Every time we mess up and we go to Jesus and we say, please forgive me, Jesus says, here's some more blood to wash you clean. I poured out for you. Our future is secure in Jesus Christ. I am glad that I know in my heart today that Jesus lives. And you see, I've read the Bible. Bear with me while I say this next sentence. I've read the Bible, but the Bible's not the completely thing that convinced me that Jesus is alive. There's people who tell you Jesus is alive. There's preachers who tell you that Jesus is alive, right? I tell you this morning Jesus is alive, but that's not what convinced me. What convinced me is because I have met Jesus on a personal level. I have met Jesus when I was in darkness and despair and I was in so far in sin and I didn't know where I was. And you say, but you were a preacher. But yeah, I was also a sinner, and I still am a sinner. And you see, we fall to sin, and when I was in those dark times, in those valleys, guess what? That's where I met the living Savior. Amen. That's where I knew without a doubt that God was alive, because he's not in a book. Yeah, we have the Bible that teaches us about him, but this isn't where Jesus is. He's out there. He lives in our hearts. He's walking and breathing with us each and every day. And he's telling you, I am here. I'm not dead. I'm not a fictional character in a book. Don't keep me in a church. I am here and I'm alive and I'm walking and talking. I'm going to fall apart. You see, but when I have cried out for Christ to come and meet me, when I have cried out for Christ to come and save me from whatever it is, when I have cried out to Christ, he has been there every time because his light is burning. Yes. And he is taking me from darkness to light every time that we mess up. You see, that's how I know that our Savior has risen indeed. Because he has met me on a personal level. And I pray this morning that each one of you know Jesus on a personal level. That you have met Jesus face to face. That he has taken you from where you are to where you need to go. But I pray this morning that if you don't know Jesus that way, today is that day that you find him. Mm-hmm. I found him yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your age is, where you may be and in your walk with Christ. I don't care what your sins are. I don't care what you may give as an excuse that Jesus does not love you. Jesus does not care about you. Jesus went to the cross to care about each and every person, each and every sin. There is not a sin that Jesus did not take upon his shoulders on that cross. Amen. And because of that, because he took every sin on his shoulders, the blood that was poured out can cover any multitude of sins. Any sin that you can think of that you may say, well, Jesus wouldn't cover it, he did. Amen. He already did. And he wants you to come and repent of it and tell him that you are sorry, to have him cover your sins. He's already done it. He's waiting for you to repent of it. He's already made that sacrifice. You see, and then when you repent of your sins and you realize that no matter what you've done, that you can be forgiven, then you go to the tomb and you realize that now that you are a child of God's, Now that you are covered in the blood of Jesus, you go to the tomb and you realize that you have been taken from darkness into light. The light of Jesus is burning within you, and now you have the hope of heaven. Amen. And you have the hope of being resurrected with Jesus. So that is what Easter is about. That we serve a risen Savior. And so this morning I just pray that if you do not know him, as we sing our last hymn, that you come forward and that today will be the day that you have the hope of the tomb, the hope of going to heaven. That today would be that day. So if you do not know Jesus, or maybe you need to rededicate your life, please come forward as we sing our next hymn. Will you stand? Celebrate Easter and you have Easter dinner and all of that, don't forget to celebrate the risen Savior. Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we go from here, that Lord, that we just remember that, Lord, we have the hope of eternal life because of what you did for us this week. That, Lord, you died on the cross for our sins, and but, Lord, that you went to the tomb and you were dead, but, Lord, that you are not there any longer. The grave could not hold you. You defeated death, and, Lord, that you are raised from the dead this very day, and that you are walking and talking and living within our hearts today. And so, Lord, I just pray that this day, that we celebrate what you've done for us. We celebrate that we serve a risen Savior. We do not serve a dead God, but we serve a Savior who is alive and who is walking and guiding and directing us every day. And so, Lord, I just pray as we go from here that we remember that. Guide and direct each one the rest of this week. We just want to praise you and love you this morning. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.